Welcome back. You're here with David Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Market's going to crash. Should people be prepared? Are they prepared? Is their strategy the right strategy?
This is a big topic, Dave.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there that have made some good money in the markets over the last couple of years and the turnaround. What's interesting is how people are still focused, A, on the short term, B, on the market itself.
On a market.
Right. So yeah. When you have long-term success in as a portfolio manager, you need to kind of understand what the portfolio manager thinks, understands,
what they're looking for.
And what they're looking for. Right. Right. And so our job is not only to talk about what we do, but what other successful portfolio managers around the world are doing.
Yep.
And we've had a great partnership with EdgePoint Investment Group. We've had a great partnership in regards to how their philosophy, approach, and strategy works for their investors.
Right.
It works. The question is how?
Right.
Right. And so let's bring our reoccurring guest on the show and talking about this.
Absolutely. We're welcoming back Ty Bassett as a portfolio manager and the founding partner at EdgePoint Investment Group. Ty, thanks for taking some time with us, man. It's good to see you again.
Dave and Faisal, thanks very much for having me today. It's great to be with you.
Well, let's maybe talk a little bit about this market, Ty. We're getting a lot of questions from people about, well, from two sides. It's kind of, hey, you know, everything's just going straight up. It just keeps going, right? Load up on risk, keep going. What could possibly go wrong? That's one side. And the other side is, oh my gosh, this thing is peak and ready. You know, it's ready to crash. So maybe just give us a sense. We'll start the conversation on where you guys sit, where you're positioning right now.
Sure, absolutely. Happy to. You know, I've been doing this for about 25 years, managing money professionally for about that period of time. And during that period of time, I could honestly say that I've rarely seen an opportunity for the average investor out there to do as poorly over the next decade as I do right now. And the reason I say that has to do with entry price. If you look at the entry price of the stock market or the entry price of the fixed income market, and I'm talking about general stock market levels and general fixed income levels now, they've rarely been this high. And in fact, if you go back over the last 120 years, and you think about running an average portfolio with maybe 60% equities in it and 40% fixed income, in the last 120 years, there have been six periods of time that have lasted about a decade each, where the average return of a 60 equities, 40 fixed income portfolio have delivered zero over that decade. Six periods of time where you've gotten zero. And all six periods of time started with high entry prices, high valuations to enter, either on the fixed income side or the equity side in that portfolio. And what's interesting today is if you look at the equity valuations from an entry price perspective or the fixed income valuations, they're both very high at the same time. And if you look at the previous six periods in the last 120 years, either one or the other of those valuations were high, but not both. And now you're looking at high valuations on both sides. So I think you have to tread very carefully.
Ty, and Dave, when you were talking about that, Ty, what struck my mind is let's assume that this is one of those periods that the next 10 years we'll have to accept a lower than average rate of return. Let's assume that that's what the market's 60% equities, 40% fixed income. The next 10 years are the most crucial from a demographic perspective. Mm-hmm. When you look at the amount of people that are going to be turning into the retirement phase of their life that are now dependent on the rate of return to reach their income goals in retirement, this is a crucial time in their lives. Right. So they've been accustomed to the last 10 years getting fairly good rates of return. They will expect that going forward. If what Ty is saying comes out to be true and they're going to be very low rates of return, that could decimate their retirement, not in the first 10 years, but the next 10 years after that and the 10 years after that. So this is a very crucial period in time.
Yep.
When we look at what's happened in history, yep, from a valuation perspective and where we are demographically in our country, this is a huge point. This is why you and I built this practice the way we do. So Ty, when we're looking at that issue, what does a portfolio need to look like going forward, knowing what you know and where the valuations are?
Thanks, Faisal. I think the answer lays in the investment approach. So if you think about what our investment approach is, it's really based on the idea of going out and finding a small group of companies that can grow materially into the future. So say the next 5, 7, 10 years, where you're not being asked to pay for that growth today. When market valuations are higher, it's harder to find that small group, but not impossible. We have a team here of people scouring the world on a daily basis to find that small group of companies. And then once we find one, we invest behind it with conviction. So the idea, and quite frankly, the only path we see right now to add value globally for the end investor is really to just go out and find that small group of businesses and buy their future growth without paying for that future growth today. Now, if you look at the S&P 500, for example, over 20% of the S&P 500 is trading at a valuation of over 50 times earnings. That is very high relative to history. And what people are doing is they all seem to be congregating in the same types of businesses, which gives us an opportunity to look elsewhere, look at names that may not be household names and buy some growth and not pay for it. So we've been very active in markets like Japan, for example, or finding new ideas in Europe. If you were to look at our portfolio, they wouldn't be the household names, but they're the names that we believe should be able to add material value going forward from the perspective of buying growth and not paying for it.
Ty, when we talk about where you're going, you also have to look at where you should stay away from. And so there's areas in the world, there's markets in the world that are a no-go for you. Yeah. There are certain types of industries at this point in time that are a no-go for you. Walk us through where the areas of the no-go zone is for your team.
Yeah. Faisal, I would say that... I want to pin it down to areas of the market per se, or sectors of the market. What I would do when it comes to our team is think about consensus thinking. So the areas that are really no-go for us is where there seems to be a very broad-based consensus, because consensus is an awesome thing in most industries in the world. If you think about being a doctor or think about going in for a heart surgery, you want consensus among the doctors on how to do that heart surgery before you get the heart surgery. Or if you're about to go into a tall building, like the one I'm sitting in right now, I want consensus among the engineers on how to build that building before I come in it. But in our industry, consensus is a recipe for long-term underperformance. If you invest in line with consensus, history has shown that that usually results in long-term underperformance, which is counterintuitive, because most professions out there, most of your listeners out there, don't operate in the investment industry. They operate in industries where consensus is beneficial. Mm-hmm. So if you think about where there's broad-based consensus today, I would say it's in a lot of the areas that are the work-from-home areas, right? The big tech names, for example, would be broad-based consensus that there are very high-quality companies, and they have a bunch of tailwinds right now because of the work from home and COVID. And people just take comfort from investing in those, because there's a lot of people who've invested in those and everyone's familiar with the story around them. But here's the problem. Again, if you invest in line with consensus, history has shown that you typically underperform over the next decade or so. Let me give you a very quick example, if you don't mind. And if you go back to the 1980s and you look at the 10 largest businesses on planet Earth back in the 1980s, the majority of them were around oil and gas, because at that time, the price of oil was skyrocketing and it was consensus thinking that all you wanted to do was buy these oil and gas companies. So guess what? The majority of the 10 largest companies in the world were oil and gas companies. That didn't work out so well. You fast forward 10 years and it wasn't oil and gas companies anymore. It was now the Japanese, because in the late 1980s, it was all about Japan and the idea that Japan was going to take over the rest of the world. So everyone plowed into that at the end, making the Japanese the 10 largest businesses in the world, or Japanese companies, I'm going to say 8 out of the 10 largest businesses in the world during that period of time. Again, that didn't work out so well because 30 years later, you still haven't made your money back. Fast forward another decade, and then it was technology, media, and telecom, and broad-based consensus that that's where you had to invest. Guess what happened? That didn't work out so well with the dot-com boom. And then you fast forward to 2010, and it was all about emerging markets. Emerging markets are going to take over the world. Get yourself into China as fast as possible. And I think we know the story about how that played out with emerging market names. And again, by the way, if you look at the 10 largest businesses back in 2010, the majority of them were emerging market businesses or energy-related businesses or commodity-related businesses playing on emerging markets. You fast forward to today, Faisal, back to your question, and you look at the 10 largest businesses today, and 8 out of the 10 largest businesses on planet Earth today are different again. They are businesses that are related to the work from home, the tech story that everyone's very familiar with. So what we tend to do is avoid consensus thinking because, again, history hasn't looked favorably on investing in line with consensus.
You know, this is the part of the five-pillar investment strategy that we look at, is how to look at all different five pillars in our models, which includes EdgePoint. They're part of our model, mm-hmm. right? And so we want to make sure that people understand that there is a strategy behind looking at opportunity right. for growth. And we're going to talk about that at our next seminar on Tuesday, September 21st, 7 p.m., live online. If you need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right. The first piece was a good setup here. If you want to find out how to outperform the index in the long term, you have to look different in the short term. And we're going to talk about that after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.